Welcome back, everyone, to The Deep Dive.
Hello.
Today, we're doing something a bit different, I think. Really unique.
Yeah.
We're diving into this fascinating blend of, well, personal psychology, moral philosophy, and using literature as our lens.
Okay. I'm intrigued. And our source material comes from an author named Milan.
That's right.
And Milan is interesting because they're really engaged with the messy, practical world, you know?
Mm.
They're science communicator, climate activist, involved in reducing nuclear risks, even safe AI interactions. So very grounded.
Absolutely. And not just grounded, but academically rigorous, too.
Mm-hmm.
They studied international relations at UBC, got an MPhil from Oxford Wadham College back in 05.
Right.
So our mission today is really to unpack this central tension Milan explores. How do you stay true to yourself, maintain that authentic inner life, when you're also deeply involved in high-stakes, strategic work in the external world?
That's a huge question, the sort of insider-outsider dilemma.
Exactly. And Milan's approach was, well, pretty radical. They actually formalized this split between the inner self and the social self, gave them names.
Names, okay. Like alter egos.
Sort of, but deeper, I think. It wasn't just a whim. It sounds like it was sparked by hearing people discuss identity and this phrase, neurodiverse by choice.
Ah, right. We should probably clarify that phrase.
Yeah, definitely. We're not talking about a clinical diagnosis here at all.
No.
It's more like intentionally choosing to think differently, pushing back against the default, maybe consensus-driven ways society expects you to think, especially when dealing with complex stuff.
Exactly. An intentional cultivation of different thought patterns. And Milan used this kind of thinking to define a separate entity for that inner non-default process,
which they named Phil.
Phil, F-I-L-L.
And the reasoning behind the name, Milan says, is because this inner mind, this domain, it just naturally and inescapably pervades them.
Mm-hmm.
And when strong emotions hit, they feel literally filled to overflowing. It sounds incredibly visceral.
It really does. It suggests something fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
So Phil represents that totally private inner space, the true freedom and privacy, as they put it.
Right, where thoughts, feelings,
yeah,
they're just there. Spontaneous, inherent, your truth, before you shape it for anyone else.
Yeah, untainted by strategy or needing approval. It's like the rock core, maybe the moral judge even, rooted in just instinct and what you know deep down.
Okay, so that's Phil. But then there's the external persona.
Milan.
Milan, the social self, the one others see, interpret, the one that has to function out there in the world of activism, policy, communication.
And the source describes this self, the Milan self, as carrying a kind of perpetual mental burden.
Ah, okay. And there's a connection to their past experiences here, right?
Yeah, the source suggests that this strategic Milan persona developed partly because of past experiences, like being punished by parents, authority figures.
For what?
For feeling authentically and telling the truth. Basically, for letting Phil show.
Ouch. So that experience led to an internal rule, almost.
It seems so. An internalization that, okay, social interaction has to be strategic. You can't just be authentic out there. It's not safe.
So the external Milan isn't just about being competent or, you know, good with people. It's a shield.
A meticulously crafted shield. Yeah, a defense mechanism.
Constantly having to model other people's minds, figure out what they want, what counts as normal, just to operate.
Right.
Okay, but I need to push back a little here.
Yeah.
Isn't estimating what others are thinking just part of being a functional adult? Isn't that just empathy? Is Milan saying empathy itself is the burden?
That's a great question. And I think the distinction Milan makes is crucial. They're not talking about genuine, spontaneous empathy, the kind that just flows.
Yeah, okay.
They seem to be talking about strategic empathy, the kind you have to deploy for survival, especially in potentially adversarial situations.
Like high-stakes negotiations, or dealing with people resistant to facts, like in climate denial or nuclear policy debates.
Exactly those kinds of bureaucratic, often frustrating settings. The external Milan acts as the shield there. The burden isn't empathy itself. It's the constant, relentless mental work of managing that shield, making sure Phil, the authentic core, doesn't leak out and get, well, trampled or exploited by power structures.
That makes more sense. It's the labor of maintaining the performance.
Yes, and that leads to this really striking physical metaphor they use.
Right, the boundary. Phil fills the author up inside.
Yeah.
But the boundary at the skin is hard. And outside that boundary, it's described as a vacuum.
Wow. That's stark. A hard boundary against a vacuum. It speaks volumes about feeling potentially isolated or maybe needing intense self-protection.
It really does. It implies this constant state of readiness, of defense. guarding that boundary so the external Milan can function, can endure in a world where, let's face it, power could be arbitrary. And as Milan puts it, many prefer comfortable delusion to evidence-based reasoning.
Oof. Yeah. So the external self is the tool for navigating that messy reality, that chaos, without letting it destroy the inner core, Phil.
And having this clear distinction, Phil versus Milan, it gives the author a kind of immediate clarity.
That's what they say. It lets them instantly sort people out, basically.
How so?
They can identify who in their life nourishes, celebrates, and respects Phil, the authentic self.
Right.
Versus those who maybe unconsciously want to erase parts of who they are, who want a Milan that just fits neatly into their own ideal script for how Milan should be.
So it becomes a kind of filter for relationships, a moral litmus test almost.
Exactly. Are they connecting with your core or just the strategic front you put up? And, you know, you listening can probably relate to this. Think about your own relationships. Who makes you feel safe enough to let that guard down, to not have to be strategic?
That's a powerful takeaway right there. The practical use of this very internal psychological idea.
Mm.
Okay, so we've got this internal architecture. Phil with this protected by the strategic Milan.
Mm-hmm.
But if Milan is always strategizing, how does genuine moral action happen? Action that isn't just tactical.
Great question. And maybe the answer isn't just internal. Maybe we need to look outwards at examples of people or characters who act from pure instinct and courage.
Which brings us neatly to the second part of our source material.
Right. Milan's analysis of Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass, specifically the very first chapter.
Ah, a classic. What does Milan focus on there?
Well, first, just the sheer craft of it, how brilliantly Pullman introduces the subtly different world.
The demons.
Exactly. The whole concept of demons, these external animal forms of a person's soul, it's just woven in so naturally. We learn about Lyra's bond with her demon, Panteleimon, just through their everyday chatter.
Yeah, no clunky info dumps. You just get it. It feels real immediately.
Totally. But Milan argues the chapter does something even more important than just world building.
Which is?
It establishes Lyra's fundamental character, her core nature.
How? Through her actions.
Precisely. Her decision, right at the start, to sneak into the forbidden retiring room at Jordan College.
Right, where the scholars hang out.
Yeah. And why does she do it? Not for personal gain, not really for strategy, but out of sheer consuming curiosity.
That one act tells you so much.
It does. It shows she's inquisitive and bold, as Milan notes, and crucially, unwilling to just bow down to stuffy authority figures or arbitrary rules.
Okay, so she starts as this curious, perhaps slightly rebellious kid, a delightful rule breaker.
Yeah. But then just a few pages later, her deepest character, her moral compass, gets tested and forged, really.
When she sees the master poisoning the wine.
Exactly. The wine meant for Lord Asriel.
And she's hidden, right? She could just stay quiet.
She absolutely could. Staying hidden is the safe option. It preserves her place at Jordan, keeps her out of trouble. But she doesn't hesitate.
No.
Her action is immediate. It's not strategic. It's not calculated. It seems purely instinctual. She warns Lord Asriel, saves his life.
At considerable risk to herself.
Huge risk. And that moment, Milan argues, reveals her core moral framework. She will make a substantial effort to save someone else, even when it puts her own safety, her own position, immediately on the line.
And that's the same courage we see later, magnified with the whole Bolvingar rescue mission and everything else?
Exactly. It's foundational.
What's fascinating, thinking back to Milan and Phil, Lyra's action there, it feels like it comes straight from her authentic core, doesn't it?
It really does. It wasn't calculated for social approval or strategic advantage. It was like a pure eruption of moral certainty, a Phil moment, perhaps, beautifully mirrored by her demon Pan being right there with her, sharing the fear and the resolve.
Okay, I see the connection now. We've got Milan's internal struggle protecting Phil while navigating the world strategically, and then Lyra's very outward instinctive moral resistance.
And this is where Milan brings in the idea that speculative fiction, like Pullman's work, isn't just escapism.
Right. It's commentary on our world, our present.
Absolutely. And Pullman's commentary, according to Milan, is pretty blistering. He reveals the monstrosities that emerge from the unchecked power of the heartless.
He shows how systems, even ones meant to be good, like Jordan College, a place of learning, can become corrupted from within.
Yeah, insulated, self-interested. They become willing to do horrific things, even commit murder just for strategic gain or to maintain their comfortable power.
That's a chilling look at system failure. When powerful groups are free from outside scrutiny, they can start defining right and wrong purely in terms of what benefits them.
Individuals become just tools, exploitable resources.
And Pullman's response, or rather, the response of the book champions.
According to Milan's reading, it's selfless individual moral courage. It's Lyra.
Lyra reminds us that you always have a choice.
Yes. A choice to resist that kind of power, to assert a different standard of morality, one based on, as Milan puts it, respect for the individual and repugnance at their exploitation.
But Milan also stresses something important here.
That it's never safe.
Right. Acting with that kind of authentic moral courage in the face of corrupt power, it carries real risk. Which loops us back perfectly to why Milan needs Phil.
Exactly. Why protect that inner self so fiercely? Because the freedom to be yourself inside your own head, to hear that authentic moral voice, Milan suggests that's the only freedom that can't be taken away, except by, well, incapacity or death.
If your sense of right and wrong is totally tied up in your external actions, your strategic Milan self,
then it's vulnerable. It can be compromised by pressure, by arbitrary power, by the need to survive strategically.
But if your moral foundation is secured internally, in Phil,
then you gain the strength, the capacity to accept external risk. The strategic Milan might have to navigate difficult compromises or even suffer consequences for speaking truth.
But the inner Phil, the core self, remains intact, uncompromised.
It preserves your integrity.
So the final synthesis here is actually quite hopeful, isn't it? It grounds that big external idea of moral courage right back into internal authenticity.
I think so. Milan seems to suggest that when we really listen to ourselves, to that inner voice, our basic instincts lean towards being humane, towards empathy, towards understanding.
And asserting that inner truth, even just to yourself first, that's the bedrock for the kind of external courage Lyra shows.
It's almost like the strength of the strategic Milan, the ability to function effectively in that tough external world, actually comes from the security and clarity of the internal Phil.
A feedback loop.
Yeah. Know yourself. Secure that inner foundation, and that gives you the moral certainty, the resilience you need to confront the messy, often corrupt external world.
That's a really powerful way to look at it. Know yourself to save the world, maybe. Or at least to act morally within it.
Something like that.
Well, that pretty much wraps up our journey for today. We went from this very intimate idea of naming your inner and outer selves, Phil and Milan.
All the way to Lyra Balakwa facing down corrupt systems in the Golden Compass.
And the sources leave us, and you listening, with something very concrete to think about.
Yeah, Milan basically offers you some homework. Consider naming your own inner self, you know, whatever name feels right for that authentic, spontaneous core inside you. And then really think about the conversation happening between that entity and your social, strategic self.
The self you present to the world.
Exactly. And ask yourself seriously, when is that inner self, your own Phil, whatever you call it, when is it cheering for you, rooting for your choices?
When is it cringing?
Yeah. When is it cringing with instantaneous regret, as Milan puts it, because you're making a choice, maybe a strategic one, that you know deep down morally compromises you?
Wow. That internal cringe. That's the signal, isn't it?
That's the voice of your authentic self saying, hold on, this action, this strategy, it just costs us something important, something maybe irreparable to our integrity.
So exploring that internal dialogue, noticing the cheers and the cringes, that's the starting point.
It's the first absolutely essential step, according to this framework. The step towards building the kind of moral courage Milan sees in Lyra. The courage to act not just strategically, but authentically, for something bigger than just getting by.
A really compelling and, I think, essential thought for anyone trying to navigate our complex, often demanding world without losing sight of their own moral center.
Definitely something to mull over.
Thank you so much for taking this deep dive with us today.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.